Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners. I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering, what happened? From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
In the season finale, Jaden, Alex, and I sat together to piece together the facts we knew to come to a determination about the individuals responsible for the tragic case of Adeya Shivani. In that episode, we stuck to what we knew to be true and the most important aspects of the case, especially for the families involved. However, there's a lot we believe to be true based on our 14-month investigation, and these interviews and theories fill in a lot of gaps in the story of how an acting student with her whole life ahead of her could end up murdered by a fellow acting student with his whole life ahead of him too. In this special bonus episode, we present the full conversation that Jaden, Alex, and I had when we sat down for that meeting, as well as excerpts from more recent interviews that support these theories. Here, we dive deep into personal thoughts, opinions, and facts on both key elements and side stories of the case, the most crucial being why. Appendix 1, filling in the gaps. So we know Chris and Adeya got together in September. We know they broke up in December. And then we know they restarted their relationship.
What insight do we have in terms of like why they broke up and then restarted? I mean, that's kind of interesting as we start, develop a motive.
We're walking through this case chronologically from the beginning in order to determine a possible motive as well as answer other key questions along the way.
Well, I think this is an important piece, actually, and this is where I think everything goes wrong when they get back together. She was on vacation with her family, and it was no big deal. Chris broke up with her. Then she comes back home, and Nora said that she got a text from Adeya on January 6th.
I have a message, a text from her on 6th of January, where she says, he came by, and he said he wants to be with me. And this is when it started. It started with big lies because Adea is a straightforward person. Either you are with me or no. She cannot take a second person in the relationship. So for her, it was like constantly lies from his side. And she was pissed off.
But the reason he had to start lying was because he probably overpromised to Adea.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then she keeps distrusting him for good reason. Mm-hmm. And then he keeps escalating the promises. We'll move in together. We'll get married. I'm moving my stuff now.
He just couldn't deliver on any of that stuff.
And she's starting to get smart to that. So he's leading a double life now. And it's highly stressful because now he's not just hiding from Mary, but now he's got all this pressure from Adea. And Mary told me really recently, and I didn't know this before, that Chris had tried to commit suicide.
So I started noticing changes in Chris's behavior in October, which is right around the same time that he started doing the first scene with her. And sometime, I want to say in January, February, like he had, his solution to things was to end his own life. He had a plan, he didn't want me to find him. He like researched and it's like, it can't just be a gunshot because then you could miss or whatever, or pills, like people wake up, or like he was actually, he had multiple ways that he thought of. He told me this and I was like, do you really expect me to let you leave? Like, he was gonna have a hotel room, and if that didn't work, he was gonna go up to his dad's to get one of their guns, and if not, it was gonna be his uncle. Like, whatever it took, he was gonna do whatever he needed to do, and that was like his solution.
So he's cracking under the pressure.
Yeah.
There's in his journals, he calls Adea like a vampire and a succubus. Mary was saying that even before she knew that there was an affair, she has this hold on me.
He was never present in the moment with me. Like, I would look at him and he's a million places away, just like constantly, like thinking constantly, like wheels turning. And during that time too, like he kept telling me that this girl he thought was like an energy vampire, and that she was just taking all his energy, giving him bad, like to the point like he actually went to see a Reiki healer, always wore like a stone, and kept a rock in his pocket, slept with a rock under his bed.
I think it's odd how you just talk to someone so much and little bits start to come out.
Leaking out, yeah.
So there's something going on with him. The next thing is, he's keeping the affair secret from Mary, from his mom. I've talked to a few of his friends now, from most of his friends till the very end, except for one person he knows won't disapprove of what he's doing.
That's Merez?
Right. I had Mary check Chris Spatz's phone bill. And Mary said that very few calls in October, November, December.
The exact amount of calls with Chris Merez, according to Chris Spatz's phone bill, is 4 calls in November and 3 calls in December.
And with the bill I have, they start picking up in January. It starts about February 8th, and if it goes to February 23rd, when Adea disappeared, in those 19 days, 41 calls between Chris Spatz and Chris Merez. Added up, it's 251 minutes. And in the last 3 days before Adea disappears, 14 calls back and forth.
When did he plan to come up there?
So Thursday night at 8:50, she's telling Christian, let me check with my mom if I go to Mexico. Friday morning, she pulls out of Mexico. She did not know she was going to this funeral till Friday morning.
I mean, I think it's smart if you are going to kill somebody to spring it on them at the last minute.
And tell me what you think of this. I was trying to think of when was it planned. And my thought is, the night that Adea shows up, that night where there's the fight in the truck, there's the big fight. He's taking her stuff. I think she's taking his stuff. There's the knife thing, that whole calls to 911. At that point, it's a abusive, violent relationship. Things are at a place where Adea could call the police and charge domestic violence or assault or theft, right? So my theory is that at this point, when Adea comes outside Chris's apartment, Chris tells Mary she's saying she's gonna commit suicide. I think he's saying that she's gonna commit suicide if I don't go down there and talk to her, making that up to try to go down and pacify her, get her to stop. When he goes down there, she's very wound up. maybe in anger, whatever it is, she's said some things, like we met her friends, they're, you don't fuck with them. They're tough and they take no bullshit kind of people.
Oh yeah.
It's like, enough is enough. I'm gonna call you for taking my stuff. I think Nora said she thought, you know, Dave's gonna call the police for taking his stuff.
I mean, what would you think about a person you love and you have serious plans with, stealing, having stuff disappear from your house? And him disappearing all the time. And then when he was cornered, he couldn't take it anymore because she wanted to call Mary. And when she cornered him, then he got aggressive and he snapped.
So my thought or theory is that that was the night when he's like, it's her or me. And also, by the way, the other thing is, he starts kind of being like, the drama stops today. It's like he's being lovey-dovey.
Well, and his problem is solved to him. He can be as nice as she wants, as he has to be to her, because in a few days, she's not gonna be a problem anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like putting up with something you know is gonna be over.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Prioritizing your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. With AG1, just one scoop of this foundational nutrition supplement delivers your daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. With AG1, you're giving your body high-quality nutrition with ingredients that are sourced for absorption, potency, and nutrient density. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/odyssey. That's drinkag1.com/odyssey. Check it out.
And this is my first case, so I don't know, but he feels like he's in survival mode.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, there definitely is a theme in certain murders where people feel like they don't have any other option. And I think what's weird is that thought about her destroying his acting career. You know, we have a little bit of evidence that points to how much he values his acting career, because he's literally like on the run from LAPD, me, Adea's friends, but yet he decides to drive all the way from Colorado back to LA to like do a
gig and his last thing.
A little 30-minute thing. Like, that's how important his acting career is to him.
Right.
So to say that like he murdered somebody because he felt like they were going to put his acting career in jeopardy is not that far-fetched.
He's 33 years old, doesn't have a job. He's going to auditions all the time.
Right.
He's trying to be an actor. He's working on a screenplay. I've talked to his friends. He's writing screenplays for him. He had his own short film project going on. He doesn't want to lose that. Mm-hmm. That's his whole life.
There are likely many overlapping reasons as to Chris Botts' motive. He believes, whether true or not, that Adea is going to ruin his career, his relationship, his reputation, if he ends this affair. As we know from Mary's comment earlier, Chris Botts already saw no way out and was at least strongly considering suicide. So maybe, and I've discussed this with several people close to Chris Botts, he was suffering from anxiety and depression and possibly using steroids. because the previous time he saw his father, he actually went to pick up steroids. And Chris Botts felt, or was convinced by someone else, that there was another way out besides killing himself. And that was killing someone else.
So what we want to say is we know they drove up there. We know they stopped two places based on the accuracy of the timeline. We know nothing happened to her prior to that. So when we went up there, and I've looked at it again and thought about it, I mean, that road really is, it's a good spot.
To what likelihood is it that it happened in that driveway versus when they're at Chris Merez's house for you?
I don't know. I mean, 80-20 driveway. Because so far, Kim's information has either kind of been corroborated with something else or been corroborated with some kind of evidence. Like her stories just sort of fit into the narrative. The fact that there was both the blunt force trauma and lacerations, just on a 30,000 foot view, would say, well, that makes sense with a shovel because you're actually dealing with a blunt object and a sort of a bladed object.
What Jaden is saying is that he believes this portion of the statement by Chris Merez's ex-wife, Kim, which is that as Chris Potts neared his father's house, he told Adea that they should lie in his truck bed and look at the stars. Google does indeed show that Chris Potts pulled into the driveway of a private residence about a mile and a half before his father's house, in a spot not clearly visible either from the home or from the road. And he remained there for 21 minutes. This is where Jaden believes Adea was very likely killed by repeated blows with a shovel.
Adea was where she wanted to be, right? She was with Chris alone. They were out of town. She knew he wasn't, you know, going to sneak away and go to Mary in the middle of the night. She was finally getting to meet his family. Like, she had to have been in a very good place.
What we know Chris Potts does next is that he drives to his father's place, likely with Adea's body in his truck, and eventually enters the field across from the house.
Well, the only question is if he goes out of that field, and how long was he in the field?
I mean, we don't really know because his phone's blinking now. We don't know.
Okay. Right?
What's your quick scenario and what you think might have happened? I mean, that's like the crucial hours.
I mean, I actually like that theory, that he was walking around the property looking for a spot to bury her.
Around this time, the truck is likely washed and Adea is wrapped in a tarp and baling twine and loaded back into the truck. What happened next has already been well documented in this podcast. According to Kim Merez, and none of this is inconsistent with our Google data, Chris Merez got in his truck and Chris Potts followed in his own truck. They drove to the Spenceville Wildlife Area campground, where around 2 a.m. that night, Adea Shabani was buried in a shallow grave.
Here's the one remaining question. Who was in Adea's apartment that night, if anyone?
I don't know. I'm not seeing any furtherance to that. I don't know. I feel like he probably had a lot of friends that would just want to get out of the way of that, like they would have came forward.
Here's the other reason why I think that was like a red herring. Chris Potts and Chris Murray, you know, they had stories about everything. The fact that they never told a story about that.
And they actually gave us a lot of information through their dumb stories. They sort of like pointed to things.
Right.
You know, and yeah, right, they never said anything about that.
At this point, we don't believe that anyone was actually in Adea's apartment that night, as was originally suspected. That theory was based on two facts. One is that Adea's door was unlocked, which could have either been done intentionally as a red herring or accidentally, because I've tried the lock on Adea's door and it can get stuck. The second reason is that there was activity on Adea's computer at 1:08 a.m. that night when Chris Potts was in Wheatland. That activity, we've discovered, was Adea's Chrome browser syncing. So it's possible that depending on the settings on Adea's computer, the browser automatically synced.
So, just a couple last pieces. Why does he return to Chris Merez's house the following day?
I think the thing I said early on, which I still think is maybe true, is just, you're just kind of going back just to take the temperature, see what your dad's doing, see if he's acting weird, see if he's giving the impression that he's about to rat you out.
And you also need cash for the drive home, so your movements can't be tracked, because he paid for everything with cash on the drive home. So he's getting that cash because he didn't have it for Roseville and got screwed. I don't think he planned to stay at a hotel. I think they just got in a blow up. Oh, maybe he called Sam for a place to stay.
Interesting. When were the calls to Sam? 10:26, 10:47.
And then I think a text at 11.
11:27.
They're all 1 minute calls. They easily could have just...
not connected. Hey, call me back ASAP. Because I don't think he wanted to use his credit card. I think he got in a fight with his dad. I think he ran out of money and he came back the next day and needed some money. Otherwise, your whole ride home's gonna be tracked. That was one of his big mistakes, was using that card. His whole plan was ruined because he ran out of cash for the gas and he didn't plan to stay at the hotel. That's why he's looking for hotels. He didn't plan that part. He didn't plan that his dad would almost like sell him out or not be involved with him.
I mean, I feel like if you're going up there just on a whim, just taking a chance, you have a contingency. You have a plan.
Right.
Man, you don't go, he doesn't go there on a contingency. I mean, that's not possible. You're not going to go so close to your dad's, do it, and then go right to his house, hoping he's going to, that just doesn't make any sense.
And what if dad says, get the fuck out of here, and you got a body in the back?
You go, I'm calling, yeah, or he goes, I'm calling the police. You're fucked. Like,
it's impossible.
There's no way he does that.
You can't know.
I'm sure it's happened where somebody's shown up at a house, but it hasn't been a premeditated thing. Like, I don't premeditate a murder, plan everything out, and then just show up at your house hoping you're going to help me out. That is just totally unreasonable. Again, without the premeditation piece, maybe. But I don't plan it out and then just hope. No way.
Here's the other thing. They never said, oh, we're going to Chris's dad's. So the uncle's funeral isn't saying I'm going to my dad's. We just figured out the dad's because of his mistakes, actually. And he could later tonight could say, I never told her any such thing. She's making stuff up because there's no record of him saying that to her.
Do you think, well, right, and it sounds good that she made it up because he could say, my uncle is alive. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good lie.
One more note. When Chris Morez tells Jade the next day, calls Jade the next day, it says that girls go missing from LA every day, all the time, and you know, I think also they banked on the system not having the resources to look into it or care. I think some part of them thought, people go missing all the time, statistics are so high, it's another person missing, look into it, it'll be kind of crazy for a few days, then it'll just disappear. You know, Chris Morez has gotten away with so much his whole life that it's just another thing, like he's kind of like Teflon. Your thoughts on the drive back? Because I don't think we ever said it explicitly now that we know all this other information.
I feel like he's definitely getting rid of discarding her stuff. I mean, the Google timeline tracks him to dumpsters and stuff in parking lots, right? I mean, so he's definitely getting rid of her stuff piece by piece.
Chris is back in Colorado. He tells Jade he thinks his dad did it. Jade is talking to Chris Morez and says, I think you did it. Afterward, the dad calls Chris Spotts. Chris Spotts gets agitated and drives 17 hours all the way to his dad's house. Stays, I talked to because she was there when Chris Spotts arrived. She went away for an hour and a half.
We've beeped out the name of Chris Morez's fiancée here, who recently moved out of his home. This is what she shared with me.
Chris was either like sleeping or like in the back. I don't remember what he was doing, but I answered the door. And I was like, hey, you know, like, cause I had no idea, you know, like, didn't know why he was even up there. So told him to come in, and then I had to get my daughter to dance. So I probably saw him for like 10 minutes and then I left. And then by the time I got back, Chris' spot was already gone.
So he drove 17 hours just to spend 2 hours with his dad, so they're having some kind of conversation then. The last piece of this is, Chance says when he found Chris was going to commit suicide.
But he had it all planned out, man. He had a chain, bought a chain. And he was going to wrap the chain around his neck and shoot himself in the head as he jumped off the balcony with the chain tied to the top of the balcony. Like, shoot himself while he was falling.
Yeah.
Just looking gruesome. Like, I told him that was a, that's like the biggest overkill I've ever heard of.
So Chris felt like the jig was up. Everybody knew his life. So his whole goal was to protect his career. It's done. You know, you're a fugitive now. It's done. So he was meeting Chance to kill himself. Chance talks him out of it. And he thinks, I've got one last plan. My last plan is to go to my dad's, get some sort of confession out of him, kill him so he can't talk, and then maybe I could get away with this.
Well, and that's not a bad idea for him, because so what, that would fix his situation. You know, he would be in the news at least. And he would be in the news in a positive way, right? Because he was a victim too. His dad killed his girlfriend.
And you want to hear a crazy story? I talked to his friend Sebastiano, the guy who he was supposed to spend the night at his house, the night spent at a day at his house. But Chris was working on one last project.
It was a story that he heard from an Uber driver, and it is actually tragically ironic because I realized this afterwards, that the story basically was about this guy and girl, I guess, in an Uber, and when the guy leaves at a gas station to get some things, the girl confesses to the driver that she was kidnapped, and the guy took her cell phone, her wallet, her documents, and he is keeping her hostage. And Adele was supposed to play the part of the kidnapped girl, and Chris, or the kidnapper.
Wow. Do we have this?
I have the screenplay.
Really?
Yeah.
So that tells you, I mean, right there, like when we're talking about how apt he is at planning out a crime, he's probably researching it for this screenplay.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
The only thing left is this last chase, the pursuit with the police, and I think we haven't discussed that you got Chris Spatz's autopsy report. I share that autopsy report with a forensic investigator. I have his notes.
As you already know from the finale, the result of the autopsy report, as well as an independent review, is that Chris Spatz did commit suicide. Here's an excerpt I haven't shared yet from the original coroner's report. And it begins stating that investigators had been tracking Spatz's cell phone, and I'm quoting here now, between Denver, Colorado near his mother's home and Sacramento, California near his father's home. LAPD investigators added that they had been actively seeking him and searching for his girlfriend. On March 22, 2018, at about 8:26, a license plate reader located on the signal lights at the intersection of Main Street and Mariposa Road in Hesperia got a hit on a Toyota Tacoma pickup truck and notified police dispatch. Dispatch broadcasted the hit and advised the pickup truck was possibly stolen and there could be a missing person associated with the vehicle. Deputy Bray initiated a traffic stop at 8:42. As he did so, Spatz got onto the southbound Interstate 15 Main Street on-ramp. Spatz pulled his pickup truck over, rolled down the driver's side window, and dropped a set of keys. As Deputy Bray and his partner were yelling commands, Spatz began driving away onto the southbound I-15. Officers initiated a pursuit, but after about a minute, Spatz pulled over onto the roadway shoulder and his passenger exited the truck. Spatz continued driving southbound on I-15 and a pursuit ensued. After detailing much of the chase, the report goes on to say that about an hour later, Spatz came to a stop as he could not travel any further on the rims of the Tacoma. Three of his tires were flat from the spike strips. As CHP officers got out of their vehicles and approached the pickup truck, they fired less than lethal rounds, later determined to be shotgun beanbags, at the back of the pickup truck and then at the driver's side window. At 9:38, CHP officers advised dispatch of shots fired and reported it appeared that Spatz had shot himself. CHP officers approached the vehicle and noticed Spatz appeared to be unresponsive with a gunshot wound to his head and requested medical aid.
My problem with his activities after the fact has always been, how did he think that it was a better idea to not cooperate with the police, get a lawyer, start staying in hotels? How did he think that was a better idea than just...
I'll tell you how. Having his journals, he suffers from anxiety. He talks about it a lot. So in other words, it's okay if no one's saying anything, but once they start saying stuff, he's scared of her friends are going to beat him up. He's scared of the police. Like Chance was saying when he was driving, helicopters he thought were the police. Cars he thought were the police. Everywhere he's seeing police. Like, I'm sure if you're guilty and you have a guilty conscience, you think everybody is an undercover cop. You think everybody's out to get you. If Chris Spatz came home, went about his normal life, what would happen, given all the evidence we have?
I think as long as Chris Merez kept his mouth shut, probably a bunch of nothing. He would have probably held. He would have had to hold up under some scrutiny, but it would have been Chris Merez, and it would have been if that body resurfaced. He could have come up with a way better plan. That was a really terrible plan.
This is our current narrative, given what we know. Of course, every new source and every new piece of information can add to and even shift that narrative, especially in the gaps where we speculate. Next week, Jaden and I will be answering the questions that you've sent in, including this one.
Hi, I just had a question about the notebook that was found in the truck. One of the episodes, you had mentioned that Chris Spotts said that he needed to tell his mother something, and it was written in this notebook. And I was wondering if you guys could follow up on that.
If you haven't sent us your questions, you can email us at livediela@tenderfoot.tv or call our voicemail line at 213-204-2073. I also want to take a moment to thank two people that I accidentally left out of previous credits. Bill Schultz, who voices the datelines at the top of the episodes, and Oren Siegel of Management Production Entertainment. Please remember that this podcast is about real people and real events, all of whom, whatever you may think, are reeling from an unspeakable tragedy. So please make sure to respect their privacy and their grieving process. Thank you for listening.
Why, hello there. Welcome to Radio Rental. If you're new around here and haven't heard, I'm your host, Terry Carnation. On Radio Rental, we play tapes of the scariest true stories you've ever heard. That's right, we've got real scary stories told by the people that actually experienced them. We've got stories of paranormal peril, near-death experiences, stitches in the space-time continuum, and more. Stories like these.
This person was looking for me. They start to take these long strides towards me. I was freaking out.
We started seeing it everywhere we went. It would be sitting there watching us.
I've never ran so fast in my life.
And it's all set right here at Radio Rental, the video rental shop of your worst nightmares. Radio Rental is available now. Listen 1 week early and ad-free on Tenderfoot Plus.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.